You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Friday, the 23rd of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. We might go a little bit longer today because we are focusing solely on the e-commerce space. Later, I will speak with the CEO of Temple & Webster, Mark Coulter, and also find out what experts think of players in that space. But first, let's go to the biggest share market listing of the year, online makeup retailer Adore Beauty. The IPO raised around $270 million. The IPO price was $6.75. It traded today at a premium on its first day on the share market to close at $6.92, an increase of 2.5%. It didn't blow the lights out like other stocks. MyDeal, if you remember yesterday, mydeal.com.au, rose 72% on its first day. But for more on the business, I spoke earlier with its CEO, Adore Beauty CEO, Kate Morris. A few of the fundies that I spoke to said the IPO was quite overpriced. How do you respond to that?
Well, I guess we're trading above the offer price at the moment, and we were very heavily oversubscribed at that price. So I guess the market will decide.
Okay. Why list now? There seems to be a rush of IPOs as we head to the back end of the year.
Well, I think the IPO window has been closed for a pretty long time. So I think there was probably a bit of a backlog. For us, you know, obviously we've had a huge year. The business has been growing obviously for 20 years. And yes, look, for us, it seemed like the timing was right.
Can you tell me more about that growth, especially during the pandemic?
So I think what we've seen is that, you know, a bit of a structural shift really towards e-commerce. And we had very dramatic growth from the start of lockdown and still continuing to see really strong growth. I think the thing that gives us a lot of confidence in our growth prospects going forward is that the customers that we've acquired during lockdown are continuing to purchase from us, even the ones that are in states like WA and Queensland, where, you know, life is pretty normal and all of the shops are back open again. So, yeah, I think that does give us a lot of confidence.
Your business started 20 years ago in a garage in Melbourne. How is the business different? How's the business different now to, say, you know, 10, 20 years ago?
Oh, goodness. It's a whole new business. And I think anyone that's worked at Adore for any length of time would probably tell you it's pretty much a new business every couple of years because of how fast we're growing at the moment. Yes, it literally was just me in the garage with my cat in the very early days. And of course, now we have a team of about 190 people and a 4,500 square metre fulfilment centre in Keilor Park in Melbourne. So yes, it's night and day, I'd have to say.
How do you continue to innovate?
Well, I think that's kind of one of the good things about having been a bootstrap startup is that we had to be agile in order to be able to compete with businesses who were much bigger than us and were much better resourced than us. And so our right to exist is being agile and being able to, you know, try new things and to be truly customer-centric in a way that I think perhaps the beauty industry wasn't really for a long time.
Kate Morris there. Another online retailer to do well out of the pandemic is Temple and Webster. The online retailer predominantly wears or sells homewares and furniture. Its shares have risen 580% since the March low, but they've come off the boil over the past couple of days, down by about 20% since Wednesday. For more, I spoke earlier with its CEO, Mark Coulter. Mark, sales soared 130% in the June quarter. The way shoppers turned to your business during a pandemic and a recession, does that surprise you?
We were lucky enough to be able to have a business that continued and in a category which became suddenly very important. A lot of Australians were locked in their homes and we're a retail for the home. Look, what we saw when the coronavirus first hit, we saw our sales double very quickly overnight because people did turn to our channel. So the acceleration of the growth definitely surprised us. No one was expecting this. You know, as long as we keep putting the customer first, I think customers will come to us.
Speaking of growth, can you give me an update of what growth is like right now?
Yeah, so we announced this week, actually, that our growth is still above 100%. Q1 this year started at circa 140%. In fact, we made more profit in our first quarter this year than we did the entire period last year. So growth is really, really strong. We are actually even comping very good growth numbers last year. So we're still seeing a huge demand for online shopping.
How much of that growth, though, do you see disappearing next year as people start leaving their homes, as restrictions start to ease?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really good question, and obviously no one has the answer. Our take on it is that what COVID has done has brought forward the adoption of online shopping. So we were always going to go on that S-curve. So you look at other markets like the US and UK, they're ahead of us. You look at other categories in Australia, like appliances and fashion, there's a lot greater proportion of the sales is sold online today than furniture and homeware. So we were always going to go on that S-curve. What COVID has done is actually we think it's brought forward that adoption. So we've gone further up that curve, but people have tasted the convenience of the channel. You know, it is sometimes often more convenient than going to the stores. And once you have a taste of it and you realize actually the experience is pretty good, we think at the very least will be in the decision set going forward. So when the world goes back to whatever normal it goes back to, we think it will be a more permanent adoption in our category.
We've seen senior leadership offload a large chunk of shares, though. What kind of message is that sending to shareholders?
Well, I think, every shareholder and every, you know, co-founder or director has its own story. And there are different reasons for why people sell. I think, a lot of the founders of online retailers, yes, it sounds like it's an overnight success, but we've been doing this for 10 plus years. This is not an overnight success. It's been a long journey. I think, I'm very much of the view that co-founders should be allowed to sell some. You know, it's an economic reason as much as a passion. And I think as long as people are retaining, you know, the bulk of their net worth in the company, I think interests are very much aligned to shareholders.
Does it bother you, though, that shares have come off the boil recently, down 20% over the past few days?
Well, in my case, the shares are still significantly up from when I sold a few months ago. I sold a part of my shareholding, not a majority of shareholding, definitely a much smaller part. So we're still, you know, in my case, there is still very much capital appreciation on the shares. This week's share price for Temple & Webster, we delivered great numbers. You know, what the market does with those numbers is a little bit out of our control, but there'd be very few companies which deliver the numbers that we delivered this week.
How does a company like yours innovate?
How we will differentiate our offering is really through technology. We've invested in an offshore company, which is an artificial intelligence-based interior design company. We are looking at things like visual search, which is about to go live. We've just launched a mobile app. So our way of differentiating is to really make the online shopping journey as easy and as fulfilling as an offline one. And our belief is that, you know, we want to make our customers' homes beautiful, and we think we can help them do that.
When you look at the economic environment right now and the outlook, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist?
Look, every economic situation is always mixed. Indicators are always mixed. In this period, though, I think they would weigh more to the positive. So unemployment seems like it's stabilised. The housing declines seem like they're either stabilised going up, ex-Melbourne. You have the tax cuts coming in, you have interest rates maybe coming down. So I think it feels like consumers are positive. Consumer sentiment is a two-year high. I think we're in for a good Christmas.
Temple & Webster CEO there, Mark Coulter. So now, what do the experts think about stocks in this space? And what about the other major event of the day, which is the US presidential debate? I spoke about all of that earlier today with Paul Zarades. How do you see the market playing out until the US presidential election?
Well, clearly there may be some volatility as we lead into the election. But at the moment, the polls are suggesting that Biden will win. And the market is of the view that if that is the case, that should be quite positive for markets. Previously was regarded it could be negative, but the market is now the view that it could be quite positive because of increased activity, particularly in infrastructure and spending elsewhere.
It's AGM season, and yesterday we saw protest votes against remuneration reports for the Crown and Star Entertainment boards. Do you think this is going to be a reoccurring theme?
Yeah, look, I think, yes, it is, and it has been growing for a number of years in the sense of shareholders being very active in their voice. And clearly, if there is a distaste or there's something that they don't think is quite right, there will be quite a strong vote against it. In some cases, and certainly what we saw yesterday, there was a protest amongst the vote towards the directors of Crown because they're not necessarily fulfilling all their obligations, is the view of shareholders. And that was part of the protest vote. But also, if companies are paying executive large bonuses where they think it's uncalled for during COVID, shareholders will vote against that as well.
Can we talk about IPOs? What do you make of that growing list of IPOs in the lead up to Christmas? I think there's around 20. And what are you telling investors about that?
Well, like all things, you've got to be very, very careful and not be too caught up in the hype, because there is obviously hype associated with that. That's part of the reason why people are rushing to get these IPOs into the market. But within that, there's also some very good businesses that you should be looking at and some very good opportunities. So, and some of the things that we look for, if there's massive sell down by the previous owners, now that's a bit of a flag for us. But if the investors are coming to market to expand their business model and retaining a good portion of their holdings, we think that's a positive. But you still need to be very selective and you need to do your homework, most definitely.
What do you see as the challenges for e-commerce companies? Today, Adore Beauty listed. Yesterday, MyDeal. You've got the likes of Kogan and Temple and Webster, which have done really well during the pandemic, but their shares are starting to come off the boil now.
Sure. Look, I think e-commerce and the growth of transactions on the web and other means is definitely going to grow. It's going to be here for some time. I mean, I think the world was thrown at it because they had no choice but to conduct their lives through e-commerce. And I think that they've tasted and they like it, as in shoppers and also consumers alike. But clearly, there has been a very, very strong ramp up because of COVID. There will be some easing of that, but I do believe that the underlying trend is still going to remain quite positive for a number of years yet to come.
Isn't the challenge for these companies the ability to hold on to these new customers that they gained during the pandemic?
Well, I guess that the other side of the equation is if they enjoyed the experience by shopping online, they'll continue to shop online. So I think there's going to be a large element of that. But also that these companies will continue with their promote online, because once you've got your customer base, you tend to market to them directly to excite some more activity. So I think that's going to be the case. So the cost of acquiring new consumers is going to increase because, you know, once COVID passes. So that's what you need to be mindful about. But I do believe that overall, it is still going to be positive. The issue is going to be is that given the rapid rate that we have seen, the ability for these companies to recycle that same sort of growth in the next year or two is going to be a real challenge.
Paul Zaratis there, the head of equities at Ausbil. And a quick check in on the market today. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.11%, 6,167. Declines from CSL and the large miners offset the gains in the big four banks. BlueScope was a standout, up 11%. It said it expects 30% earnings growth in the first half. And since we've been talking about IPOs today, CleanSpace, it makes workplace respiratory protection. It debuted on the share market today. Now, $4.41 was the IPO price. It closed at $7.42. That is an increase of 68%. That is On the Money for this Friday, the 23rd of October, 2020. And for the week, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at BusinessRicardo. This On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.